Come, Holy Spirit, and enkindle in the hearts of your faithful the fire of your love. Amen. Good morning, Trinity Church. How about a round of applause for just the joy of being here? Jesus began to teach beside the lake, and such a very large crowd had gathered around him that he got into a boat, drifted out a distance, turned from the place on the water, and addressed the crowd collecting at its shore. Speaking in parables, Jesus announced, "The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs. It puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." My oldest friend's maternal grandfather, a man named Bob Green, operated a ranch in West Texas. And I had the honor of shaking Mr. Green's hand 6 or 8 times, and clutching his thick fingers and heavy palm was like being fitted into a large, rough stone. His hand did not feel worn so much as that in its time, it had done some wearing. For years, Mr. Green wrote a short column for the Shackelford County newspaper, and his crisp, honest writing bears the weight of his and his generation's experience. Wars and droughts, children and ranching, coyotes and church. My favorite of the columns concerns a boat built in the mid-1930s by Mr. Green's brother, Tom. Tom, as Mr. Green describes him, finished things. He writes, "My model airplane would end up looking like the eroded skeleton of a lizard, half uncovered and lopsided, but Tom's, they were meant perfect and flew like birds every time." This boat in question, what was a flat-bottomed, all-wood design, imagined and built by Tom exclusively for the boys to run the trot lines they eternally had out in Hubbard Creek. And Mr. Green remembers that boat was a classic. In typical Tom Green style, it progressed carefully and very thoroughly. It remained in clamps for weeks like a patient in traction while the glue absolutely set up. Non-rusting brass screws were used in lavish but orderly fashion throughout its construction. Caulking was neatly inset in every seam. Toward the finish, a splendid paint job was applied. Bright yellow interior, Kelly green exterior, sky blue seats and a jet black bottom. Your eyes automatically blinked when looking upon it. From his boat out on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus does not issue any tired cliche about small packages. Rather, Jesus tells the parable of the mustard seed to describe the very coming of God's kingdom, the very coming of God's kingdom. He asks us to consider if the kingdom of God arrives in the way a mustard seed grows into a tree, then how does the kingdom come? Well, for one, the kingdom comes slowly, imperceptibly slow. Even the fastest growing children and weeds grow more slowly than we can observe in real time. I mean, sure, we can track their growth on a door frame or with some annoyance monitor as the latter creep into our garden. But we cannot see the growing. We cannot watch them grow. Yet from the signs we can observe, we know that they are. See, this is how the kingdom comes. Though we cannot observe each increment of its approach, we nonetheless do see that it is on its way. The Holy Spirit notching our faithful door frame the way we marked Mary Virginia and Michael Stevens 4 years and 7 years, 14 years and 17 years, moments of joy, visits of grace. The kingdom is coming, a relationship healed, a congregation made new, a community made well, the reign of God underway in the midst of us. See, the kingdom comes about Tom Green style. Slowly, carefully, thoroughly, like a patient infection heals, like a new boat's blue. Mr. Green describes the day that the boat was launched, how the boys bought a bottle of Lime Ricky to break across its bow, but upon closer inspection of the sturdy bottle, decided instead to only slosh the boat with its sticky green foam. He tells how that boat did floated for many years, in fact, hauling untold poundage of catfish, making countless circuits down the trot line to bait and to collect, ferrying the young men wherever they needed to go. And when a heavy rain came and washed the boat downstream, the boys would saddle up their horses, ride the banks of the creek until they discovered it again, usually stuck in some drift, not too far from its accustomed home. But the idyllic years passed, Mr. Green writes. Boys grew up. Wars took place. Tom went to England and France. I went to Asia. And the boat leaned against the side of the hay barn, paint faded and peeling. And then fate, director of affairs for boys and boats and worlds, took a hand. One day, a disaster of a sort occurred in the milk cow lot. The hay manger's bottom collapsed and wouldn't hold hay. My father, never one to wring hands and wonder what to do, immediately ordered that the boat be brought forth and inserted under the V-shaped 2x4s that held the hay for the milk cows to munch. And that was done. As with most superior designs, the boat worked admirably wherever it was placed, even as a hay manger bottom. I like this part of the story best. It's the part that can only be written upon reflection. A reflection that's at once joyful and lonesome. Lonesome for brothers and boats and youth, joyful at their good memory. It's this part that's written with the richest sense of gift, of gratitude. See, the boat, despite Tom's designing and building, despite Mr. Green's floating and retrieving, that boat never belonged to them. More than anything, it belonged to the creek, to the ranch, to the early mornings and long afternoons of their West Texas boyhood. A force beyond their bones called them to bring that skiff into being, to its stewardship, to use it well, and then to give it away. To give it away for another good use, even if that new charge was wildly, unimaginably different than that for which they had originally constructed and for so long had enjoyed. Neither architect Henry Hobson Richardson nor rector Phillips Brooks could have imagined us here today. Our collapsible camp chairs. A round of applause, I think that's right. Our collapsible camp chairs, those little squatty beach chairs, so I see these knees sticking up high. Our mobile devices lighting along the stone branches of our Trinity Church, this eager, thirsty brood, chirping, singing to God, calling out to one another and to the city. Our faith's physical home, glorious and good, has watched over the square and this world's changes for nearly 150 years. Inside its high ceilings and colorful glass, your eyes automatically blink when looking upon them, have hauled untold poundage of prayer into the company of heaven. And when the storms have come and tested its pilings, faithful souls have wrested it from the drift, patched it, and returned it to service. God willing, and this long pandemic relenting, soon and very soon, we will be back inside, finding our familiar pew, kneeling at our treasured altar, breathing deep and easy its comforts and inspiration. Yet what was once taken for granted can no longer be. For the world has been growing up since we were last together, realizing that the idyllic years for some were too often at the expense of many. And we return to this building. Its singular beauty alone will not be enough. In this emerging season of life, God calls us to resurrection, not restoration, as we have named it. And be clear, our becoming something new is not a judgment on the joys that have been, no more than boys becoming men and trading the trot lines of Hubbard Creek for the front lines of a faraway war, no more than a seed shedding its shell and sprouting, shooting, stretching from shrub and into tree. No, with a rich sense of gratitude, with the knowledge and trust of gift, now we must do our part to set ourselves and our beloved Trinity Church beneath a world collapsing under its own weight, to bear God's good news in fresh ways, to love more, to love better. And people of God, take heart. Take heart that this good work is already underway and you already are a part of it. For God long ago commenced this faithful transformation among us. It's been careful and slow, thorough, the way a new boat's glue sets. Yet by your very presence today, for our worship from the west porch, bears God's grace, brings hope, pitching our tent, presenting this beloved community to our city with a new energy, in new ways. This morning, the Holy Spirit notches that door frame, notches even this grand entrance, announcing that the kingdom of God has come a little closer, encouraging us to stay faithful, to keep at it, to keep going. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, and we are a light in its branches. I pray in the name of this God. Amen.